And welcome to the East Church. There are a few intimations on the back of the order of service for you this morning. Have a look through them. See how you feel you'd like to be part of this church, which is a busy church. There's a lot happening throughout the week, every week. So welcome to worship today. God, you have called us to come together. You've called us to worship you. And so in your name we gather. To your name we offer our praise. For we come to you now with love in our hearts, praise on our lips, intent on worship. We come to offer our time and our thoughts to you. We come to receive your comfort and your challenge for us. So Lord, unite our prayers and our worship, that your name may be glorified. So let us worship God. We sing, praise the Lord, his glories show. Let us pray. Lord God, you have shown us in Christ the way to life, that path of faithful service, the meaning of your kingdom. Yet there are times when we fail to see it. So help us to walk in faith, for you are always leading us forward, eager to guide us into new experiences of your love and that deeper understanding of your purpose. But there are times when we do refuse to follow where you would have us go. Help us to walk in faith, Forgive us for losing sometimes the sense of direction with which we began our path of discipleship. Forgive us for finding it so hard to deny ourselves, yet so easy to follow our own inclinations. Forgive us for trusting you when all goes well, but doubting the moment life fails to conform to our expectations. Loving God, help us to walk in faith. Renew us, we pray. Rekindle our faith, revive our love, and revitalize our vision. Restore our resolve to take up our cross, Lord, and follow wherever you would lead us. Show us the way and give us the faith to follow you, looking always to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For his name's sake, help us to walk in faith. Amen.
Good morning. Can I ask any boys and girls to come find the front, please? That'd be great. I'm going to tell you a story. Ethan, do you want to come? Ellis? Tasha? Katie Rose? Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Does anyone know what grows in a vineyard? What grows in a vineyard? Grapes, and we have some grapes here. You're absolutely right. That's what grows in a vineyard. And today, my story is about workers in a vineyard, and I need some workers. So I'm wondering if I could have three workers. Could you maybe hold a sign for me? Ellis, if you come stand so you can show, that'd be great. Who else would like to hold one? Do you want to hold one? Ethan's going to come. Do you? Great. That's super. Okay, so I'm going to pop you here. That's okay, Katie Rose, if you come and stand next to Ethan. So if Ellis holds up her sign, it says works all day from 6 in the morning to 7 at night. And then Ethan's sign says works half a day from about noon till about 7. And Katie Rose is only going to work 2 hours. So we've got a bit of variety there. She's going to work from 5 to 7. And long ago, the workers would meet in the marketplace, and then the landowners would come and they would hire workers. That's how what happened long ago. So early one morning, a landowner, at 6 o'clock in the morning, he would come and hire you, and he would say, I'd like you to work all day, and I'm going to give you a full day wages. And you would say, okay, so we've got our first set of workers. And I'd say, go to the vineyard, and you can work, and I will give you a full day's wages. And then the landowner would maybe come back later on in the day, and there's still some people wanting work, and it's about 12 o'clock, about noon. So he would say, I'm going to hire you at 12 o'clock. You've got half day's work, okay? And I'll pay you just what's right, okay? So are you going to come and work too, Ethan? Right? So I'd say, go to the vineyard and start work, okay? And then the landowner came back much later in the afternoon, about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, so that's much later. But there was still some people that were not doing anything and they hadn't got work. So Katie Rose, I'm going to hire you at 5 o'clock, and I'll pay you just what's right, okay? So I'd say again, go to the vineyard and you can start work, okay? And then the work's been done and it's the end of the day and it's time to pay the workers. So I'm going to ask Natasha, can you come and pay? And they're going to get one coin each, and they could maybe get a sweetie too because they've been working hard. So they get exactly the same. They're going to get paid exactly the same. So that's what they got. And what they would do as well, they would sometimes start paying the person that had started work last first, and then they would work. The people that have been working all day might be paid last. So that's how they did it. The people, the men who had been hired last and had worked for only a few hours got paid enough money for working the whole day. And the people who'd worked all day expected to be paid a lot more than those that had just been, because you would expect to get paid a lot more than Katie Rose, wouldn't you? Because you worked all day and Katie Rose has only worked how many hours? 2, but that's not how it worked. You all got paid exactly the same. Everyone was getting a full day's wages, no matter how long they'd worked. The workers had worked all day, and you wouldn't be very happy, would you? So you might say, I'm not happy about this. And you might say, it's not fair, because I've got paid exactly the same as Katie Rose, and I've worked all day. But the vineyard owner, he would reply, I'm not being unfair to you, because you agreed to a full day's wages. And you might say, take your money and you can go. The vineyard owner was willing to pay those who had showed up last the same as those who had come to work first. He was just being generous to those who had come again later. So what can we learn from this story? God rewards us generously, and he doesn't judge. He is generous, and he gives to us. And I want you to remember that God loves us and he'll be with us always. And God calls each and every one of us and he invites us to come to him. And when we come to him, he gives us good things to do. In the end, God rewards each of us generously. God wants us to love him and serve him with a good attitude. It is not the job or reward what matters to God. It is our heart and our attitude while we're serving him. He wishes us to serve him out of love and thanksgiving for his grace. God is more concerned about our hearts and attitude than our service. So we're going to say a short prayer now. If you want to come and sit down. Well done, workers. I think they need a clap because you've been great helpers today. So we're going to say a short prayer. Dear God, thank you for loving us and sending Jesus into our lives. Help us to love you and serve you with a gracious heart and a good attitude. Help us to be kind and generous to others, as you have taught us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And now we're going to sing, stand up, clap hands, and shout, thank you, Lord.
So you've got your instructions there in that song. Stand up, clap hands, shout, thank you. So that's going to wake us up on a Sunday morning, isn't it? Because I assume there are actions, like standing up, clapping hands. And told that's quite a first for the East Church, because if I remember correctly, Muriel, there is no record of the East Church having sung that since records began at the East Church, as far as we could work out. So, well remembered, everybody, for that. We know it. Everybody knows it individually. That's right. Let us turn our minds to the Scriptures. I'm going to read from part of the book of Jonah in a moment. The book of Jonah is a book that we all know, but if I ask you about the book of Jonah, what might you say to me? What picture comes to your mind when I say the book of Jonah? No pictures. Swallowed by a big fish in the choir? Yep, that's possibly the bit we remember. That's the first two chapters of Jonah. And I discovered this week, as I was thinking about Jonah, that this picture of the fish swallowing Jonah has captured the imagination not just of artists, but of people who design churches. Apparently in Poland, and in a number of East European churches, it's quite a prevalent sight, this. And I've got a picture, I hope, Stan, of the pulpit in a church. It's huge, isn't it? It must be huge. And it reminds us of those first two chapters. We know the story well about Jonah, who is asked by God to go to Nineveh with a comment to preach to them that it's all going to be disaster. Jonah decides he doesn't want that, so he rushes exactly the opposite direction to Tarsus. And we know what happens. There's a quarrel on the boat that he's on, and he gets blamed for it. He gets thrown overboard, and he's eaten by the fish, and he goes into the belly of the fish, and God rescues him from that fish. And this is what these kind of pulpits are reminding us about. They're reminding us of how important it was for Jonah to go through this experience of God helping him through this fish. We might not quite understand how it works or anything like that. And the idea was that everybody who preached the Bible had to go through the belly of the fish to preach. So I think, and I've studied this picture quite closely, and we did study it at Crafty Church as well on Thursday. And what we think is that there is a kind of hole at the bottom and a step ladder that takes you up so that you appear. But it does look a bit like a Punch and Judy show, doesn't it? But that's the idea. It's quite an interesting thought that in many churches there is the Bible being lived out every single day. That's the first chapter, two chapters of Jonah. But Jonah has four chapters. And what I'd like to think about today are chapters 3 and 4. Because once Jonah comes out of the whale, or the fish, God speaks to him again. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. So God hasn't given up on Jonah. Look, you've got to go to the place I told you, and you've got the same message to give them. But this time Jonah obeys the word of the Lord, and he goes to Nineveh, which is a very large city, and it takes 3 days to go through it. And Jonah goes about proclaiming, 40 more days and then you will be overthrown. And what happens is the Ninevites, the people who live there, believe this word from God. They proclaim a fast. Even the king takes part in that fast. And when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, God relented on the people of Nineveh, says the story. He didn't bring on them the destruction that he had threatened. But then we get the response of Jonah to what God has done. Jonah thinks this is wrong. He becomes angry. He prays to the Lord, "Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That's why I didn't want to go to Tarshish. I knew that you were a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity." He's angry with God. And the Lord says, "Is it right for you to be angry?" What happens is Jonah goes away and is sulked. He goes out and he sits down at a place east of the city. And there he makes himself a shelter. He sits in the shade and he waits to see what would happen to the city, whether God would do what he had said. And then the Lord God sees Jonah and he provides a leafy plant in the story. We're into chapter 4 now. And he made that plant grow up and over Jonah to give shade for his head, to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was quite happy then. He thought, oh, life is quite good. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose up, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He didn't feel good anymore. And God says to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry? This time, is it right for you to be angry with this plant? You were concerned about the plant. Why are you concerned about the plant? Can I not be concerned about the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals? That's the end of the book of Jonah. I'll talk a little bit more about that and the ending in a moment. But first we're going to sing, "The Lord's My Shepherd, I'll Not Want." Let us pray. We will trust you. We will trust in you alone. For your endless mercy, it does follow us. Your goodness leads us home. So let your words sink into our hearts, Lord, now. Amen. When we think of the Bible, maybe we do think of the heroes, don't we? The people like Abraham, Moses, Joshua, the prophets. Mary, the mother of Jesus, Peter, and of course, the biggest hero of all, Jesus. Because all of them do have great stories attached to their names, don't they? Maybe we'd love to be like them. Trusting God like Abraham, speaking to God directly like Moses, even if it was on top of a hill or from a burning bush. Imagine that. Leading our friends, not just towards, but into the promised land, like Joshua.
being so in touch with the politics of life like the prophets were, that we could offer advice to kings and to people. What would that be like? Helping Jesus, the Son of God, growing up physically like his mother Mary. Or being the first to recognize Jesus as the Messiah, like Peter did. Imagine being part of that. Great stories, great heroes. And then there is this morning Jonah. Now he's a man as well known as any of those already mentioned. His story is well known. Many books still on the bookshelves in the bookshops. The story of Jonah. He's the guy who had to be rescued from a fish by God because he quarreled with his shipmates and was thrown overboard from a ship that he was only on because he had disobeyed God's instructions. We tell it as a bit of a funny story, don't we? We tell it often in cartoon pictures. Some hero, we might wonder. And everyone says they know the story of Jonah, don't they? But do we really? That was why I read it earlier. Rachel earlier told us a story of how God can surprise us with his thinking. She lined up her groups of workers, and they all got paid the same, yet they worked different numbers of hours, didn't they? It's a surprising story, revealing something about how God works. And Jonah's story is actually another of these very surprising glimpses into the way that God thinks. Jonah is a hero in our minds. That's how we have him, isn't it? He gets saved. But he's actually a hero who is just like each one of us. He doesn't always get things right. He gets angry and he sulks about things. But through the whole story of Jonah, don't forget, he is very close to God. We kind of read the story and we look at the kind of what's happening in it, but we forget how it's constructed. He gets angry, he sulks about anything, but through the whole story of Jonah, don't forget, he is very close to God. They are always chatting away, aren't they? God's talking to Jonah, and Jonah's talking back to God. And God's mercy, concern, and love for individuals, as well as for all creation, shines through this story. And that's the first point I'd like you to remember about the story of Jonah. Living with God is about knowing that he is always present with us. How often do we, like Jonah, do something that God might not approve of? Well, God forgives us. That is his marvelous promise to each of us. That's his job, some writers say. So let's let him be God this week to us. Let's let him show us his mercy and his presence in whatever we're doing. I urge you to have more conversations with him, like Jonah does in his story. The second point I want you to remember is this. Living with God is about being creative. Living with God is about being creative, about different things, imagining doing different things or the same thing differently. But living with God can also get a bit messy sometimes, which is what we see in Jonah's story. God keeps offering us new things, but not often in the way that we expect or we want them, doesn't he? But luckily we aren't God. We are saved from making big messes in life by God, who has creative ways of working. And maybe as you look at your life, you can pick out times from your life when it all seemed just a bit messy. It can be a bit different, can't it? And after Jonah is saved, God asks him to do exactly what he asked him to do earlier. He asked him to do exactly what he had already refused to do. Go to Nineveh, please. Preach to them. That's what God asks him to do. Because they're in a bad way and I can't ignore it any longer, says God to Jonah. And this time, Jonah does go along with God's plan. And Jonah tells the people of Nineveh that in 40 days, Nineveh will be smashed to pieces. That's what God had asked him to tell them. Living with God can be a little bit creative, can't it? It can be a bit different. Alternative, we might say nowadays. And that's how it seemed to Jonah. Maybe the world seems a little bit like that to you too at the moment. But Jonah has now done what God wanted. The people of Nineveh have listened and trusted God. And they take the message so much to heart that they declare a fast. And even the king takes part in this. They don their sackcloth, they sit in ashes, they don't eat. And everyone must turn from their wicked ways, the king says. And what happens? Far from bringing down the destruction that Jonah had expected, God changes his mind. He didn't do what he told Jonah he would do. Living with God can be creative, messy, and unpredictable, can't it? God can show unbounded mercy in the face of overwhelming wickedness. And the third point I want you to remember is Jonah's reaction to all this. Because are we like this sometimes? It wasn't what he'd expected. Jonah lost his temper. He shouted at God, "I knew this would happen, God. That's why I ran away to Tarshish when you first asked me to get involved." Jonah yelled at God. But at least they're still speaking, having conversations with God. He's there for us all day, every day. Reach out, have a conversation with God. "I knew this was going to happen," he says. "I knew you were sheer grace and mercy, not easily angered." Jonah yells at God. What does God do? Well, he reacts with a question. What do you have to be angry about, Jonah? What do you have to be angry about, Jonah? And that's a question that's asked not to Jonah, but to us as we read this story. And what happens is that Jonah goes off to sulk. And even while he's sulking, God's looking after Jonah. That large plant grows up and shades him, and he feels good. But during the night, the tree, the plant, withers. And next day, Jonah has found himself sitting in the sun, sulking again and questioning what God has done. And again, God asks Jonah, "What right have you to be angry about the loss of a tree? You, Jonah, had nothing to do with getting that tree, with growing that tree. I gave it to you out of my friendship for you. How can you change your feelings, Jonah, so quickly about life when that tree disappeared?" If you're able to do that, says God, why can't I change my mind? And it's at that point that the story of Jonah really ends, with that question about God and how he works with us. The big hero Jonah turns out to be like us. He turns out to wonder how it all works out, grappling with the questions as we look around the world. But all this happens within this conversation framework. God is, and Jonah are always chatting away. And there's in this story, there's a kind of three-legged framework that supports Jonah and us too. God's stool, we might say, that we sit upon. Firstly, remember, living with God is about knowing he is always present with us. We can have conversations with him. Secondly, living with God is about being creative, even though often it is a messy type of creativity. And thirdly, living with God is about being asked questions by God and trying to find our own answers in our own lives. And today, here in this church, we celebrate all three aspects of being with God as we baptize Riley. God continues to show up in our lives. He reveals just how creative he is through his son, who this morning will baptize Riley. Even though we can't see Jesus or understand the mystery that is baptism, he is here baptizing. It's creative, but a little bit messy. And like Jonah, we are left with questions from God to work out over our whole life. Questions which sometimes have no simple answer, but push us back simply to knowing and appreciating the continual presence of God, who is with us and who we can have conversations with every single day of our lives. Let us pray. Loving God, sometimes we feel that things are not fair. Some have plenty, others have nothing. Some can do what they want, others have to do as they are told. Some people find everything easy, others find that life is a struggle. May we always work and pray for justice, but also be contented and celebrate your generous love to us, loving God. So now to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, be glory and honour as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. And we continue to worship God with our offering. The offering will now be received. Let us pray. Gracious God, we bring now our prayers for the church, for the world, and for people to you, seeking what is best for them, but knowing always that you are the one who knows what that is. Our care is not lacking, but our knowledge is. So we ask you to hear the groanings below the understandable words that reflect your own concern for the way your world is abused sometimes, the way your people are treated, and the way we use what is not ours. So hear our prayers in a moment of quietness as we bring them to you.
Today we recognize that we cannot change the whole world. So help us come to realize that it is not always what we pray for that needs to be changed. But sometimes we as the prayers need to be changed. Need to be changed by our encounter with you in this space and time. So mold us and make us into instruments that you can use to shape the church, world and people into what you intended them and us to be. Bring about that wholeness and health in every living part of creation that reflects your own holiness. Cause fear, isolation, want and pain to be drawn from the earth by the influence of your Holy Spirit and the celebration of your kingdom reality through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We gather now, don't we? We gather for that very special reason. We gather to celebrate and to baptise Riley. It is a day of joy and happiness when we come together as family and friends in order to see the marvellous things that God has done in all our lives. So let us take some time to bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, you give to your faithful people new life in the water of baptism. Guide and strengthen us by that same Spirit, that we who are born again may serve you in faith and love, and grow into the full stature of your Son, Jesus Christ, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We sing our baptismal hymn, Baptized in Water. Baptism. We're here today for baptism. It's a wonderful gift that we don't actually have enough words to express our feelings for it, do we, properly? When the words run out, as they always do, we turn to other ways of showing what it means. We might have been able to draw a picture. There's boxes being filled over there. They look like cake boxes, but I suspect there aren't cakes in them. We can do things. We can show things and share in actions which remind us of this wonderful gift that God has given us called baptism. And today we're going to use several things to do that, several symbols to help us a little bit understand and focus on it, alongside all the words that we use in the Church of Scotland. We're going to stand and we're going to tell each other what we believe and how it is just the same as everyone who has ever been in this church on Sunday has believed for hundreds of years, and that is a long time back, isn't it? But that's the way symbols help us appreciate and see what's happening. And this morning,
We heard about Jonah living in the presence of God all the time with those conversations. That's what baptism starts. That is when you're brought into this special relationship with God. We're going to use water in the font to help us appreciate that as we ask God to send down his Holy Spirit on that water and onto us to strengthen the symbol of a new start, a cleansing, some would say, under God's guidance. And we're going to use questions and answers to reassure and agree amongst ourselves as the church gathered what is happening today. Together, these all provide us with glimpses of what baptism means. But first, let's be clear about who we're praying for, especially today in this baptism. I'm going to ask Ryan. And just stand and just face the congregation. First of all, I have to apologize for the wild mic. I'm hoping that if I talk loudly enough, the microphone here will actually pick this up so that you can hear it. But we don't want to talk so loudly that we wake up. So, Gary, Danielle, I have to ask you, do you wish Rhymie to be baptized? And in doing so, do you receive the teaching of the Christian faith which we all confess? I ask the congregation to stand so that we affirm our faith together. And today we're going to do that, as we did it the last time, in a question and answer form from the Apostles' Creed. I'll ask you a question and you respond as printed on the sheet or displayed on the screen. The question is, do you believe in trusting God the Father, source of all being and life, the one for whom we exist?
I believe in trusting God the Father.
Do you believe and trust in Jesus Christ, God's Son, who took our human nature, was crucified for us, died, and rose again?
I believe in trusting God
the Holy Spirit, who gives life everlasting to the people of God, and makes Christ known to the world.
I believe in Christ.
This is the faith of the
church. This is our faith. We believe in Christ, one of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Often when we talk of this service, we use the word christening rather than the word in the Bible, which is baptism. Christening is a fine word, but it carries with it the idea that at this service a person gets his Christian name. However, Riley has been known ever since his birth earlier this year by a number of names. Riley Gary Davidson. And if we look in the Bible, we discover that we've been known by God from before we were born, and that God actually knows every hair on Riley's head, and they've been beautifully combed this morning. Throughout Riley's life, God will call again and again on him, as he does to all of us here. So we stand by this font, and we're going to pour water into now. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for the gift of water. It reminds us of your Son, Jesus Christ. Remind us of the free gift God given to us, the living water, Son, Jesus Christ. So send down your Holy Spirit upon us and this water. We may remain ever born again in this water, part of the number of your faithful children, Christ our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Now, Riley Gary, I baptize you in the name of the Father,
God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. May the Lord bless you. So now I ask you, Danielle and Gary, do you promise, with God's arm around your shoulder, to help you to teach your child the truths and duties of the Christian faith, and by prayer and example, bring him up, once he wakes up, in the life and worship of the church? Okay. Bonita and Graham, do you promise, with God's arm around your shoulders, to help Danielle and Gary teach Riley the truths and duties of the Christian faith, and by prayer and example, help them bring him up in the life and the worship of the church? Faith is the gift of God to his people. In baptism, the Lord is adding to our numbers those who is calling. So friends and family of Banbury East Church, people of God, will you welcome Riley and help uphold him in his new life in Christ? With the help of God, we will. Let us pray. Lord, it can be tough and challenging sometimes to be a parent or godparent. So now we pray for Riley, for his parents, Danielle and Gary, his brother Lucas, and his godparents, Bonita and Graham, that they all may be supported in this wonderful, humbling, challenging task. Faithful, loving God, bless all who care for children. Grant them your gifts of love, wisdom, and faith, and protect their home. Fill them with the light of your presence, and establish them in the joy of your kingdom. And help each of us here to profess with our whole lives the one true faith, and to live in love and unity with all who are baptized in his name, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us when we pray to say together these words: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial. Deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And now we sing our final hymn, Lord, for the years your love has kept and guided. I apologise, I've forgotten to bring the certificate with me. You've probably got one already for Lucas. And that's a little card from the preacher. Lots of people have made that. Look at that. You're going to be overwhelmed. Boxes. And I think there are things in them. Are there, Natasha? Are there things inside or not? Yes. I don't know what was put inside, but I think there's something.
Great.
Go out now, return to the world, knowing that God's presence is always with you. He is there, your conversation partner, throughout life, in whatever you face. And now may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you all this day and forevermore.